How many know it's my job to preach against sin? How many think I ought to do that? Supposing that someone in the audience don't feel that way, what do you think I ought to do? What if somebody expresses their feeling about the things of the world, and then they're sitting present when I go to preach, what do you think I ought to do? All right, I'm going to preach against it. All right, you said so. Said a few days ago that someone said, I don't see anything wrong in watching a good Western. Well, you need to move. You need to move. If that's the kind of understanding and outlook you've got, it's for sure that you're not born again and you don't have anything from God and you don't belong on the campground with people that believe in the right thing. Now, not only that, but there's a number of people that they turn their TVs on. They go somewhere and they get into the rooms and they start watching these things that's worldly and these things that's ungodly. What do you think we ought to do about it? You was right with me when it was on the other foot. What happened here? You know what happened? This got a whole heap of you. And I'm telling you, folks, from my heart, as your minister, as your pastor, you will die and go to hell. It doesn't matter if a preacher tells you it's all right, if you think it's all right, no matter what you think, you're going to die and go to hell for that. Somebody says, well, I don't see anything wrong with that. I know that's like Jim Baker said, there ain't nothing wrong with me cutting off my britch legs. He boasted on the TV when somebody said something about it. There ain't nothing wrong with that. You think God's going to send me to hell for that little old thing? God took him clear off of his pedestal, turned him around, put him down as to the lowest degree, and they've done everything but walk on him. Tammy didn't think that God would get her for what she done, her little old bit of makeup. But she's been degraded and brought down to nothing. And folks, he'll get you. He'll get you and you'll go to hell for those things. You cut those corners, and I got numbers of people at Bethlehem that's doing it. You cut those corners, you think you're getting by with it. But I'm telling you, in the name of the Lord, you're not getting by with it. God's going to get you for that. And people that hear my voice that think that they can get by with that and do anything that they want to, that it's going to be all right, you're going to hell. Brother Pike is here to tell you that you're going to hell, and no matter what you think, you're not going to escape it. That's like a letter I got from a man in a foreign field. He was trying to tell me how that it's not necessary for us to preach baptism, and not necessary for us to be baptized, and not necessary for us to do all these things, you know, that the necessary things is what he named. And of course, the things that he named, that was necessary. But what, God said about it when he said, unless a man believe on him and be baptized, that he'd be damned, he'd be lost. But that wasn't important to the fella. Jesus said it was important. For he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So, you know, we find ourselves straining in a net, swallowing a camel, and we profess to be a leader. And of course, we are as to a leader of the blind. And yet a lot of times, they that lead are blind. And Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. If I'm blind and I don't know where I'm going, then all I can do is tell you according to the vision of a blind man. That's all I can tell you. And if I have my eyes open and I tell you the truth, and I'm not a blind man, then I can tell you according to the vision of a man that can see. So, I tell you what, the only way to go to heaven is to believe the word. And the Bible says, if the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not there. If you have any desire for the world and you're curious about the things of the world and you want the things of the world, then let me tell you that the love of the Father isn't there. If your interest is in the world, then the love of the Father isn't there. You don't have the spirit of His interest. You don't have the Spirit of God. If you go around lusting all the time, and you go around backbiting all the time, and you go around after the gullible desires of the world, you don't have salvation. You're not born again. It doesn't matter how much you think you're going to heaven. Even as a believer, you're still lost. You're doomed, and you're going to be turned into the lake of fire. There's only one person that's going to heaven. That is the person with the Spirit of Christ. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you're none of His. It doesn't matter what you do, you're none of His. You can come to church, you can give in the offering, you can say amen to the preacher, but if you don't have the Spirit of God, you're going to have the desire for the world and the love of the world and the things of the world going to fascinate you, and you're going to be carried away with your own person and with your own zeal and with your own plans and with your own program, and you don't have God. You don't have God, and you will not go when the translation takes place. So you can look at it like you want to. You know, it's your business. But I'm here to tell you, as one sent from God, that you're not going. You're not going to be there. And like I said the other day, someone would say, well, Brother Pike, it's like this. I'm going to do my very best, and I'm going to, after I get over on the other side, I'll take my chances because I believe God will let me in. Well, it's just like this. You may do your best according to your speculation. And when you get on the other side, God will not let you in. Someone would say, well, I know if I try. No, if you try, that doesn't mean you'll get in. The Bible said many shall try and not be able. And the Bible said strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many shall try and not be able to enter in. There's hundreds and millions of people that's trying to get to heaven and trying to be religious, but that doesn't mean they're going to go. Hundreds and thousands of people that believe, but that don't mean they're going to go. That don't mean they're going to go at all. As a matter of fact, you can believe there's one God. A lot of people that call themselves oneness, that they're convinced that they're going because they feel that they're different from what they call Trinity because they believe in oneness. But the Bible said if you believe there's one God, you do well. But the devils also believe and tremble. But that doesn't mean you've got anything. But there's one thing for sure. If you've got God's Spirit, if you really genuinely have sincerely been born again, if you've got God's Spirit, you may stumble and you may stagger, but it's for sure that you'll make the translation. With all of your stumblings and staggering, His grace is sufficient. But this is a close thing, folks. There's very few people in the world that's really genuinely been born again that's going in the translation. Well, you say, how can we prove that, Brother Pike? Well, a good way to prove that is to wait and see what happens. And of course, after that, it'd be too late anyway. But you can be for sure that, like Jesus said, few there be that find it, and straight is the gate, narrow is the way. And you can be for sure that it's a little flock, not a big flock, but a little flock. For Jesus said, fear not, little flock. It is thy Father's good pleasure to give unto thee the kingdom. All right, I want to read just a little bit from the book of Isaiah. I want to read from chapter 30. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. It says, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be a help, nor profit, but a shame, and also a reproach. The burden of the beast of the south into the land of trouble and anguish, from whence comes the young and old lion, the viper, and the fiery flying serpent. They will carry their riches upon the shoulders of young asses, and their treasures upon the bunches of camels, to a people that shall not profit them. For the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still. Now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word, and trust in oppression, and perverseness, and stay thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. And he shall break it at the breaking of the potter's vessel, that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a sherd to take fire from the hearth, or to take water withal out of the pit. Well, thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning in rest shall ye be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And ye would not, but ye said no, for we will flee upon horses, therefore shall ye flee, and we will ride upon the swift, therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one, at the rebuke of five shall ye flee, till ye be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain and as an ensign on a hill. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. Then he shall hear it. He will answer thee. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. Ye shall defile also the covering of thy graven images of silver, and the ornament of thy molten images of gold. Thou shalt cast them away as a minstrel's cloth. Thou shalt say unto it, get thee hence. Then shall he give thee the rain of thy seed, that thou shalt sow the ground withal, and bread of the increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plenteous. In that day shall thy cattle feed in large pastures. The oxen likewise, and the young asses that ear the ground shall eat clean provender, which hath been wintered with the shovel and with the fan. And there shall be upon every high mountain and upon every high hill rivers and streams of water in the days of the great slaughter, when the towers fall. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days, in the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. The Lord speaks here of the increase of the earth and the fat and plenteous in that day, the cattle feeding in large pastures, and giving them that of the winnowing fan and of the shovel. He says, they that walk to go down into Egypt, they fail to ask at my mouth. And they strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and they trust in the shadow of Egypt. He says, trusting in the shadow of Egypt, going down to Egypt for your help, not asking at my mouth as to what my word says. And he said, because of this, then Egypt is going to swallow you up. Whereas when God speaks of Egypt, we know that God is saying that they that trust in the things of the world, that those things that they trust in, God called that Egypt. Because of out of Egypt comes civilization. And America is no more than Egypt. All that they do in the world is of Egypt. All of their plans, that's of Egypt. So then when God speaks of Egypt and going down into Egypt, He speaks of worldliness, of people that are concerned about worldliness, and people that trust in their businesses, and people that trust in their own strength, and people that trust in their own plans and their own programs. That is Egypt. People that have zeal toward the things of the world as to their own programs. God speaks of this, and this was the problem with the Jews. The Jews turned back into Egypt in their heart. They turned back to the garlic and to the onions, and God was angry. He was upset, and He told them, He said, there's coming a day when I'll deal with you for this. And of course, He has dealt with them very harshly. But He did promise a restoration. He did promise a time when He would gather them again. And He said, in the time of the gathering, then is when the sun shall be sevenfold. Then is when the moon shall become, as we say, sevenfold, to bring forth a light. Or the sun shall increase in such a great measure that there will be a burning of the things of the earth. And the Bible said it will actually scorch the people on the earth to the extent that they will curse God. You know, a lot of times we think that if judgment should come, that we would humble ourselves. And we think that if God should rebuke us, we would humble ourselves. But see, that isn't true. Whatever is inside of a man, that's what comes out when you cross him. If a man is a good man, if a man has the love of God, and you cross him and you bruise him and you hurt him, as they did in the days of Jesus, when they bruised him, He said, Father, forgive them. That's what came out because that was what was on the inside. But if a man is not filled with God and the love of God, when you cross him, he may come out with a knife. He may come out with a gun. He may hunt you down like an animal after you leave, after that you've abused him. He may despise you. He may curse you. Because whatever is on the inside, that's what it brings out. And so then in the day when God begins to cause the heat to be so severe, and these things as to the hailstones rain down upon the people, they're going to curse God. They're not going to repent of their sins. They're going to curse God and say all manner of evil against God, because they're going to retaliate against God, because that is what is on the inside of them. And the Bible said there's nothing done in the dark, which means in their intellectual reasoning, that won't come to the light. That is to say, to the clear view of what God's Word has to say about it and the judgment of God's Word upon it. So then you can see that we're headed for an increase of light. Though the Bible said that gross darkness shall cover the people, so far as the people being covered up with darkness, intellectual reasoning is going to abound in colleges and teachings and all of these things concerning the skills of the world. They're going to abound and get greater and greater and greater. And the darkness is going to cover the people more and more. And they're going to have less desire for the things of God. Television programs and all of these things of the world, like rock and roll and whatever it would be, it's going to increase, it's going to be on the increase, to where your passions and your feelings and lust and the things of intermingling with one with another, all of these things is going to literally swallow you up, and eating places are going to be more beautiful and food be more enticing all the time. Until it literally swallows you up, and the themes and the popularities of the world and the sports and all of these things are going to literally swallow you up. Darkness, gross darkness covering the people. And then about that time, there's going to be an increase until the light will become sevenfold. And all of a sudden, this great, wonderful light of God is going to spring out.
And God is going to pick up His people. And His people, their minds are going to become unveiled. And all of the darkness is going to be pushed away. And they're going to see all of the things of the world as nothing but corruption that's causing the moral decay of mankind. And that's stealing the soul of mankind. And all of these things is going to be pushed away just like a little spring breaking forth, pushing the mud away. And all of these people are just one going this way and one going that way. And something happening to these over here. And over here something happening to these until finally God's people, like little poppies pushing their heads up out of the ground, is just going to come up everywhere, and the whole land is going to be filled with the knowledge of God and the brightness of God. And all of these things are going to be enticing bets of God. All these things are going to be alluring, and they're going to be wooing the people and drawing the people to the wonderful, wonderful things of Christ and to the heavenly way of life. So then that means that you and I are going to have light. Let there be light. The Bible said there was light. God said let there be light. Though there was darkness over all the face of the earth, yet He came forth and He said let there be light. And there was light. And so then we're going to have that light. I'm enjoying that light right now. I enjoy the light. It's kind of like you people sitting out there in the audience. You're enjoying light. But see, your light is very dim. But up here where the video lights are, these lights are very bright, because this shows the increase of that great, wonderful light of God that's coming. We think that we're in the light, and we think that we're all right, but when the light comes, we look around and we say, oh my God, I'm in the shadows after all. I'm not in that light. But folks, God is going to give us a light. The Bible said when they awoke, they saw His glory, and the Bible said, awake to that light, awake to that light. I made the statement the other day, that great, wonderful light. Jesus alone dwells in that light. That great light is knowledge and understanding and the wisdom of God. And Jesus alone dwells in that light. So then to dwell in that light, I must become one with Jesus. I must become His bone, His flesh, His body. I must become one with the Lord Jesus. So I'm walking in the light. The Bible said if you walk in the light, as He is in the light, you will have fellowship one with another. One of the best ways that I know of to tell that you're not in the light is that you don't have fellowship one with another. Because if you walk in the light as He is in the light, you're going to have fellowship one with another. That is to say, if you walk in the light as God is in the light, you're going to come to fellowship the brethren. You're going to want to be around the brethren. You're going to want to be around the sisters. You're going to fellowship the saints of God. You're not going to get bogged down in the things of the world and your ambitions of the world. Because if you do get bogged down out there, it means you've got that old natural human reasoning about you. And you're still with the beast and you're not walking in the light as He is in the light. So then we walk in the light as He is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. We come together, and my enthusiasm is your enthusiasm, and your enthusiasm is my enthusiasm, and our enthusiasm is God's will and desire. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. So then God wants us to walk in the light as He is in the light. And He's going to make us have fellowship one with another. I'm not going to run out on a limb out here, as we say, and have some personal ambition to do some personal thing of my own, but I'm going to find the will of God. And I'm going to enjoy the will of God. And I'm going to think on the will of God. And I'm going to have an ambition, and my light's going to shine. And somebody else is going to see it, and they're going to say, hey, I like what Brother Pike's doing. This thing looks so good. Let me be a part of that. And then in comes another light. And after a while, our light gets bigger and greater and more mightier than ever before. Hallelujah. So we walk in the light as He is in the light, and we continue our fellowship one with another. That is, we do not fellowship the world, for the Bible said light and darkness hath no fellowship. I don't have any fellowship with the things of the world. The Bible said not to have any fellowship with the things of the world, the unfruitful works of darkness that God calls it. Don't have any fellowship with that, but the Bible said withdraw from that. Come out from the world. Be a separate people, He said, and I'll receive you, saith the Lord. So then we find that walking in the light is the way. Doing the things of God. That's the way, folks. When I walk in the light as He is in the light, then I have fellowship with you. And when you walk in the light as as God is in the light, then you have fellowship with me. So then this light is increasing. And I said to you the other day, as this great wonderful light increases, you're going to find out that this knowledge, that this wisdom, this wisdom that maketh the man's face to shine, that made Stephen's face to shine, this great wonderful thing that showed God, Jesus himself, there to be in glory with Moses and Elijah. This great wonderful light, this great wonderful light, they beheld Stephen's face as that of an angel as they begin to stone him. Because the great wisdom that he spake with, the Bible said, it made his face to shine. And they could not withstand the wisdom by which he spake. So then this great wisdom is God. It's God approaching the earth. God's coming nearer to the earth and nearer to the earth. So then during the tribulation, all of these that don't go in this great wonderful light is going to be caught in the wrath of God. And caught in this great fire, that great day star, the sun, as the sun goes brighter and gets hotter and hotter, it's going to scorch the earth and it's going to scorch the people, because it is a typical thing of what's happening to us spiritually. While that great natural light in the earth, as in earth, so in heaven, while it's getting brighter and brighter and the area's getting hotter and hotter, on the inside we're burning like a ball of fire with God. And that wisdom is getting greater and greater, and the light is getting greater and greater, and the sun rays of heaven begins to show forth from our soul, and all over the world this thing begins to go forth that people can see this wonderful wisdom of God. Like a great beacon light sitting on top of a hill, like the little light we have here on the top of the church, always is flashing and going round and round, people coming down the highway, they can see that little light out there. You know, let your little light shine that men may see your good work and glorify your wonderful Father which is in heaven. So then we see this wonderful thing increasing, and the sun is getting brighter and brighter. It looks like to me, of course, every summer it looks like it just about sets a record to me. It looks like it gets hotter and hotter. But at any rate, as to the tribulation period, it's laying right in here on us right now. It's laying right on us. See, the days of sorrows have already come. The Bible said, and these are the beginning of sorrows. And already the beginning of sorrows have come. The sorrows wherein people lose their little children with all kind of diseases. Hospitals and medicine is not adequate anymore. Because the Bible said, in that day there shall be no healing medicine. And so then the doctors, the physicians are not adequate anymore. And so then, in this day, there are children, there's daughters, there's sons that's missing. They are being stolen away. They're being taken into captivity. All of these things are happening around us everywhere. There's wars and there's problems. There's all kind of earthquakes. It is the beginning of sorrows. This is the beginning of sorrows. You have your little one in your arm today, and tomorrow your little one is gone. See, the beginning of sorrows. You've been shielded from a lot of that because we pray for you with regularity, and many of you pray for us. See, and we pray one for another, and God said all of these things shall fall around you and not come nigh your dwelling. So then they're kept away from you because you pray and because you try to work with us, and we try to work with you. That's why I tell you so often, I say, folks, whatever you do, don't get careless and don't go to doing your own thing. Don't go out there in the world and start drawing back and reproaching the things of God, because you may go out there today and you may come back tomorrow, but you've got to pay day after tomorrow for going out there. You've got to pay everything that you sow, you've got to reap. See, every word that you say is going to come back to you. Every deed that you do. The Bible said you're going to be judged according to your angelic being as it dwelt in this tabernacle or this body of clay. For everything that your angelic being does, you're going to be judged someday for it. Don't forget, your body does nothing. Your body can do nothing. Your outer man can do nothing. It's your angelic being on the inside that's doing all these things. And the Bible said for every one of these things, God is going to bring you into the day of the judgment. And if you lead into captivity as to your words and your expressions and your deeds, and you lead people into the webs of the world by your doings, and you lure people after you to entice people as to the things of Satan so that Satan can put a web around him, the Bible said if you lead into captivity, I'm going to take you into captivity. You're going into captivity. I'm going to put you into captivity. And so then, some of you that think all the time and talk all the time, the things that you do, always leading people into captivity. You never lead people to God. You never lead people to the Word of God. You never lead people to the freedom of the sons of God and the liberties of the sons of God. But you're always intellectually reasoning. You're always gullible in your desire toward the things of the world. And you're always doing the things that pleases your flesh and pleases your feeling. And if it's temper, you just explode. And somebody crosses you, and if you don't like it, you just let go. That's the way that you do it. But folks, you're leading into captivity, and the Bible said you'll go into captivity. So then what we need to do is think on the Lord Jesus. We need to think on the love of God. We need to make plans for the things of God. And we need to go the way of God so that all of us together can walk in the light as He is in the light and have this wonderful fellowship with God and wonderful fellowship one with another. So then God is leading us. God doesn't want me to do you wrong. Neither does God want you to do me wrong. So then we have to labor together. While this great light is increasing, what should I do? I should be moving in more and more. Because as the heat of the sun comes according to the teachings of Revelation, and that is for the days of tribulation, I tell you again, the Bible said, pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape them things that's coming on the earth. While these things build, and while the sun is getting hotter and hotter, while it's getting to where it's going to burn the very earth, all of the time, that Spirit of God is being released in a greater measure on the inside, and God is requiring more out of us, and we've got greater opportunity. We've got the greater opportunity, but we've got to move in. It's like a secluded people that's over here in a college. These people are over here doing their thing, as we say, in college. All the rest of the world is eating and drinking, going out here doing whatever they want to do. But those few people, all they've got their minds on is being in college and getting that diplomacy so that they can take over the business, you see, while the others out there just doing their thing. And that's the way we are. See, God has drawn us away to Himself. Remember the vision I had? I looked out here and going down the streets, I saw hundreds and thousands of people. And I looked and all of these things were little freaks. I saw like two little legs walking along with a head on the top of it. Or I saw one little part of a body walking along like this. And I looked at those things and I thought, oh my God, this is the most hideous thing I've ever seen. And I looked at all over the sidewalks, all everywhere that I looked. It was just freaks just going to and fro. All of them were freaks. And then I thought, my God, what is this? And I saw a great hand reach out like this and went way out like this. And it took a part of those freaks and it pulled them over there where I was. And then I saw that as those things turned into men and women, they were whole, beautiful men and women as a specimen of a human being. And these people were great and mighty as God pulled them aside. See, the world to God is a bunch of freaks. Those people out there are not whole. Those people are all together mixed up. But God has pulled aside as the little college group. God has pulled aside a group of people that He wants to indoctrinate and bring this great, wonderful wisdom to them. And folks, this is your opportunity, and this is my opportunity. That's why the Bible teaches that we should meditate in these things day and night. We shouldn't be a bunch of religious people. We shouldn't be a bunch of people that just want to come to church. But we should be hungering and thirsting after the things of God. Every day of my life, I should be hungering and thirsting after the things of God. I should want God more than anything. I should want God's way more than anything. So I should be looking to God, always looking to God, trusting in God, that God will give me His knowledge. God will give me His wisdom. God will give me His understanding that this great light can break forth. Not my human reasoning, not my intellect, not being lifted up in myself. I had to think, well, I know and I've learned and I've studied and you need to listen to me. Not that kind of thing. But I'm talking about really getting with God and talking with God and asking God to take over in our lives to where there's no more us living, Paul said, but Christ that's living within us. and that we can come to the place to where we're not intellectually reasoning nor trying to figure things out, but from heaven there comes the abundance of God's love and the wisdom that come through Stephen. And these things are just filling our heart and our mind to where we're just caught up into heaven and feeling the wonderful presence of God and the glory of God as we move more and more into that world, more and more into that light. Jesus alone dwelling in that light, and we are bone of his bone and we are flesh of his flesh, and God drawing us up into that wonderful light, and we are becoming one with that light, moving on with that light, and the translation of that great marvelous power, that wonderful light comes right into our heart, and we find our bodies glowing with the love of God and glowing with the wisdom of God, and the devils and the demons and the darkness and the intellectual powers begin to back away because they don't want to come near us. You know, there's one thing about David of old. David of old was a swordsman. And he was such a swordsman that the Bible said he could run through a troop. He just whet his sword a little bit, and he could actually run through a troop. He put that sword in his sheath, and when David the king walked out, people shook and trembled. They shook and trembled. They probably could have been 50 men standing out here. But if King David walked out and put his hands on his sword like that, those men would have shook and trembled because he was such a swordsman that he could run through a troop. And the same way with Samson. Samson was so illuminated that when he walked out and the people saw him, that he shook like that because he could kill 1,000 men in just a little bit. Had such a strength that when the lion leaped out at him, the Bible said he just caught the lion, as we say, on the rebound and said, rent him just like he would a kid. That is just like a little old bitty lamb. Like, what if you could take a little baby lamb and just break him all to pieces? Said Samson just reached and got that lion and we just rent him like he'd been a kid. Threw him down and went on his way. That's because he had the power of God and had the grace of God in his life, had the strength of God in his life. And folks, when you have the strength of God in your life and the powers of God in your life, you can do the same thing. When the devil jumps at you, you can just reach and catch him on the rebound and just rent him like a kid and throw him aside and go on your way. When a devil gets after you and begins to growl and howl over here, and God sent you on a mission over here, and you're illuminated with the power of God and the glory of God, and that thing begins to growl, you just turn like that, and when he makes it spring, just meet him on the rebound, grab him, just rend him and throw him over his side and keep on your way with God. Let's give God a hand, can you? See, that's the way that God does it. Every person that serves God has the power to reach and catch a devil like that and just tear him up and throw him away. Just like that. You have the power to do that. You have the power to bind him. You have the power to throw him aside. You have the power to say, get thee behind me, Satan. You have the power to put your hand out like that. And when that thing jumps up at you, just rend him like he was a kid. And the devil goes off whining. Goes off whining. Why? Because you have the power of God. When old brother David put his hand on the sword, and they felt like the sword was coming out of the sheath, they were ready to go. They were ready to go. They didn't want to make war with David because he was a swordsman. That the Bible said he fought so long that the sword actually cleaved to his hand. He killed so many people and fought so long that he couldn't turn the sword loose. Just going right through those men, and as the armies came to meet him, I suppose there must have been time when dozens of men come at David at one time. But he just waded through by faith, you know, by faith, not trusting in the sword, but by faith, and men failed just like that, and David continued on. Why? Because he was great and mighty in faith in God. And people shook and trembled. All the armies of the land shook and trembled because of David. And even when David got ready to build the house of God, God said, David, you've shed so much blood in the earth, I can't let you do it. So powerful he was. You know, and as I say so often, it's like the bloody queen that said concerning John Knox, said, I'd rather fight the alien armies than to have John Knox pray against me. Said, I fear his prayers more than I do the alien armies. See, because we have the power of God. Got God in our heart, hallelujah. God's in our life. God's with us. Everything that we do, God is on our side. Hallelujah. See, it is God leading us. It's God with you. You know one thing we need to do? The Bible said concerning Abraham, concerning the faith of Abraham, said, and Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. You know, a lot of times we say that we believe. I say, look, don't you believe that God can do what he said? Oh, yes, somebody says, I believe that God can do it. See, that's as far as it goes. They don't really believe that. But they say they do. They say, Lord, I believe that you can do it. Lord, I believe. See, but really they don't. Because if they did believe it, they would be healed. Come on, folks. I said they would be healed. Because what God has promised, he's able also to perform. And what God has promised, he wants you to have. He wants you to have. And the man said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me whole. He said, I will that you be whole. It's just that simple. The man said, if you will, I know that you can make me whole. Jesus said, be thou made whole. See, wasn't any dispute over it. Wasn't any argument over it. What he could do, he did it. Isn't that right? Going about healing all was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So then he said, I will that you be whole. What does God say tonight? The same thing to you, the same thing to me. What does he say to the people of Bethlehem? I will that you may be made whole. Somebody would say, well, I know that you can if you will. He said, I will. I will. Do you believe I can? He said, do you believe I'm able to do this? Do you believe I'm able to do this? Folks, do you believe that God can do that today? That God's the same yesterday, today, and forever? Do you believe that God wants you whole? Why doesn't God want you whole? Somebody tell me, why doesn't God want you whole? God went about doing good, healing all. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Like I said the other night, the sun never changes. God, goodwill on toward mankind, peace on the earth. God doesn't change. See, why doesn't God want you whole? God doesn't want, he does want you whole. God does want you healed. God does want you to prosper. God does want you to be blessed. But somebody said, well, I can't believe that. That's called you wretched. That's called you won't live right. That's called you won't stay away from the things of the world. You keep dirty hands. You can't believe that because you won't stay away from those things out there. You won't stay clean in the sight of God. If you stay away from those things and think on things of virtue, things of godly, things that are holy, things like Jesus, read your Bible, pray, fast, seek after God, then you could believe that, because the Bible said when you do those things, you assure your heart before God, and then you have that confidence in God that what you ask of God, you've got. That what you ask of God, you've got. You know what it is? Because he's already given it in Christ. He couldn't take it back. There ain't no way he can take it back. He's already given it. Somebody would say, well, I think maybe he gave it to me yesterday, took it back today, or maybe he thought yesterday I'd be all right, but today he's not fully decided. Folks, there is no such days with God. You might be double-minded, but God isn't double-minded. And so then God's love toward you is always the same. God is saying peace on the earth. Peace on the earth. Not war, not frustration, not all of these things of tornadoes and earthquakes and whatever. God doesn't want that. God said peace on the earth. Peace on the earth. Peace on the earth. My kingdom come, my will be done on the earth as in heaven. Peace on the earth. Said, and I'll destroy the men that cause the earthquakes, and I'll destroy the men that causes moral decay, and I'll destroy the men that have the wrong attitude, and the men that have the wrong conversation, and the men that's gullible for the things of the world at the expense of other people. So then, what does God want? Peace on the earth. Goodwill, he says, toward man. Goodwill toward man. Goodwill toward man, whether it's from God or whether it's from man to man, it's still goodwill toward man God's wanting. So, does God want me healed? God wants me healed. Does God want me healed? God wants me healed. Somebody said, well, you don't know. Yes, I do know. I thank God that I do know. I thank God that I'm not double-minded like some of you. I do know. I made it my business to find out. Somebody said, well, I don't know, Brother Pike. Well, you need to find out. You need to find out. God wants you to know his will. Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. You need to know God's will. If you don't know whether God wants you well or not, you don't know God's will. You don't know whether God wants to save you or not. Somebody says, well, I know God wants to save me. No, you don't.
No, you don't. You just think that you do.
If you'll go back, ramble through that wilderness up here of your intellect, you'll find out you're in the same condition concerning your salvation as you are your healing. The only difference is that sickness is at hand and you still have to wait for the judgment, so you give it the benefit of the doubt. Come on, folks, that's where it is. See, but God wants you healed. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pye, it is a true fact that God isn't healing everybody. Doesn't that prove that He doesn't want some folks healed? The same thing applies as to salvation. God isn't saving everybody. But does He want everybody saved? The Bible says that it's not His will that even the wicked should perish, but all should come to repentance and have salvation. So then the Bible said He went about healing all that was oppressed of the devil. Come on, folks. That's what God said. See, that's what God said. Somebody said, but there's no buts about it. That's what God said. God is the one that said that. See, why should I listen to my little old feeble brain, my little old computer that stays out of control most of the time unless God programmed it? Why should I listen to that? It's what God said. God is the one that said that. We need to listen to what God said. Somebody says, but I'm trying to figure it out. I know He said that. Why are you trying to figure it out? Why? I say, brother, sister, come up here where I'm at. And somebody says, well, I'm trying to figure it out. Why are you trying to figure it out? Somebody says, well, I know God said what you said, Brother Pike, but I'm trying to figure it out. Why are you trying to figure it out? Tell me why you're trying to figure it out. You don't suppose to try to figure it out. There's no need for you to figure it out. God said I would not, but any should perish. Brother, what is there to figure out about that? It's not my will, He said, that any man should go to hell. Come on, folks. Not even the wicked. He said, it's not my will, not even for the wicked to go to hell. But all men should repent of their sins and come to God and be saved. So then that's why He said, love your enemies, do good to them that despitefully use you, pray for them that persecute you. Send your grace upon all as God sends His grace. See, it's my will that all of them come to repentance. So then you and I can't pick out the ones we want. And we can't fellowship the ones we want. And we can't look on the tribes of the ones we want. The Bible said in the book of Revelation that every kindred and every nation and every tongue was caught up. Every nation, every kindred, every tongue was caught up into the wonderful heavens of God. See, the black, the white, the yellow, the red man, all of them. They were caught up, every kindred, every nation, every tongue was caught up into heaven. Out of all of those of the world, God saved them. See, because it's God's will. It's not for you and I to figure out whether Germany or Russia can make it or whatever. It has nothing to do with it. There's folks that's coming out of Russia just like they're coming out of Germany. They're coming out of Germany just like they're coming out of America. And America's no more than Germany, no more than Russia, no more than any other country. We may be real patriotic and we may get some kind of idea in our mind that America is some special kind of thing, you know. That this is a special kind of a thing with America. And the Germans and the Russians are a bunch of idiots, as somebody has said. But folks, I want to tell you something. Russia, God created them people just like He created the Americans. And God created the Indians just like He created the Japanese. And He created the Japanese just like He created the Chinese. And He created those people in Africa just exactly like He created the people over here. God hath no respect to person. God wants to save. God died. He made Him a human body. Came down this world and died as a human being and spilled His blood so that you and I could have salvation. And every person of the world could have salvation in our little old feeble brain work. And because we feel like we're some kind of dignitary, we feel like we're some kind of celebrity, or we feel like we're a president, or we feel like we're a king, or we feel like we're some kind of a great, sophisticated somebody with lots of money, lots of talents, lots of brilliance. So then we try to set the pace of life and we try to make the decisions of life and we try to do the things we think ought to be done in life. But I thank God for one thing, in spite of our feeble ways of life, God still rules in the affairs of mankind, and He still orders things after His own will. And when all of these bright, brilliant people in the world that's so mixed up gets through with their little games, God just pushes the mud off and goes ahead, and He says, the way that I decided it, that's the way it's going to be. That's the way it's going to be, God said, the way that I decided. I rule in the affairs of mankind. So then, this light is getting brighter, and the sons of God are beginning to come forth. And the things of God are getting greater and greater and greater. Hallelujah. So then, we're here tonight, or in this service, for one purpose. That's to learn His way, His desire. Thy will come into the earth. Thy will come into the earth. As Thy kingdom is come, Thy will be done in the earth as in heaven. Since John, the law and the prophets, His kingdom has come. It's up to us to do His will. It's up to us to tell the people. We go out there and we tell the people. And they say, where with that? I don't want my family with the long dresses. I don't want my daughter subjected to this. I don't want this legalistic side of life, you know, to where you have to do this. God help that poor ignorant person. Somebody stand up as a little old bitty spout in the earth. And they talk about what they don't want and what they're going to do and how it's going to be. Not knowing that tomorrow God can bash their brains out and wrap them around a telephone post and leave a hole in their head and their blood and their guts spilled across the way. Saying, beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. See, and we stand up talking about what we want and who we are and what we're going to be when we're not even equal to a speck in the universe. Folks, we need God. We need God. Blessed is a person that's righteous. Blessed is a nation that's righteous. For the Bible said righteousness will exalt that person. And righteousness will exalt a nation. I'm not looking for a gun. I'm not looking for a sword. I'm looking for God. I'm looking for God's righteousness. God is the one that saves. Somebody says, great and mighty America, look what we've done. Great and mighty America, you've made a mess. You've made a mess that only God can clean up. You've done nothing. Just like that king when he walked down through Babylon, he looked all around and he said, look what I have done. Look what my hands have gotten me. And about that time, all of a sudden something struck and the hand began to write on the wall, and God said, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. You've made a mess, America, just like every other nation in the world, and God has got to clean it up even to the extent, He said, all of my tables are full of vomit. That is religious vomit, filled with religious vomit. And the Pope over here hollering, bring the vomit to me. Come on, bring the vomit to me. He's the one that helped fill the tables with vomit. I said that he would come over this year and all of the Protestants would gather together with him and he'd gather together his and bring on the end of the world, and everything is moving right in that way. So then, what do we need to do? God rules in the affairs of mankind. The king of Babylon needs to back off. And God needs to bring a Daniel, and God needs to move by Spirit and have His man Daniel come down there and answer the problems. And a man of God needs to walk through with a revelation and an understanding and tell these people that are ignorant, I would not have you ignorant, the revelation of the man with the revelation said. I would not have you ignorant. And when he was caught up to the celebrities and called up into the high places, they said, Paul, you're crazy. You've lost your mind. I've not lost my mind, Paul said. Glory to God. He was the only one that had a mind. He was the only one that had enough sense to know what was happening. He had went up to the third heaven and looked around up there and found out what God thought about this thing. Come on, folks. He was the one that knowed down in Egypt. It was Joseph that knowed down there, not someone else. It was Joseph. It was old brother Joseph down there. Joe had been down there in the dungeon talking to God while the others were eating and drinking and partying and having their good times, carrying on their passions and the love of the world. Old brother Joe was, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. And God was saying, Joe, it'll be like this, and it'll be like this, and it'll be like this. And after a while, you're going to be sitting over here, and Pharaoh isn't even going to know what's happening. And you're going to be sitting over there, and me and you're going to be communicating, and he's going to be saying, hey, Joseph, tell me what's going on. Come on, folks. God's got a Joseph! And God's got a Daniel! Hallelujah! God's got some in the earth today. And he's got some of them right here at Little Bethlehem too. I praise God for that. It might not all be here at Little Bethlehem, but some of them's here at Little Bethlehem. And so then this great light, this increase of this light, this thing is coming forth. More and more and more is coming forth. And God's calling to his Josephs. He's calling to his Daniels. He's calling to his Abrahams. He's calling to those that are faithful. And he's saying, come on, rise up and take the kingdom. He's saying to you and I, rise up and take the kingdom. I've given it into your hands. Rise up and take it. Folks, what are we doing? Like the leper just sitting here, dying, letting sin come. Let's rise up and be about the Father's business. Let's go in a positive way. Let's go in faith and call on the name of God. And let's don't turn and look around. When Moses was to go across the Red Sea, God said, why are you standing here, Moses, like that? Moses looking at the water like that, God said, go forward, Moses! Why are you standing and look? Somebody said, I can't pay my bills, Brother Pye. God said, go forward. Hallelujah. Somebody said, but I can't get my family to work out right. Oh, Brother Pye, I'm afraid I'm going to die of cancer. God said, go forward. Quit worrying about that. Quit thinking about that. Get the devil out of the way. And go forward. Have faith in God. Hallelujah. God is good. He's telling us to get up and go. And be about our Father's business. See, be positive in God. Don't be negative in God. You're going to have some grunts. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, you just don't know what I go through with. Well, bless your heart, I got a feeling you don't know what I go through with either. But it's one thing about it. The river ain't too deep. It ain't too deep. It's not over my head. God taught me to swim. And when I can't touch bottom, I just paddle along a little bit, and he gives me the extra strength. God does that. Why? Because he wants me to make the other side. You know, that's the good part about it. Somebody says, well, I don't know. I feel so bad, and I feel like I'm going to die. And Brother Pike, I'm having the hardest kind of time, and I'm sure that some of you do. I know that you do. The Bible said many are the afflictions, even of the righteous. You know, and I know that you do. But you know, we get all cast down and we say, oh my God, I can't make it, Brother Pike. I just can't make it. Honey, sweetie, I can't make it. I just can't make it. I can't make it. And bless your heart, you find yourself around the next day and the next day and the next day, and you think, well, praise God, you did make it, didn't you? You know? What we need to do is forget about those things. Forget about those things. Forget about those things. Not let those things occupy our mind. He said, but I just think about cancer all the time. Well, bless your heart, you won't be long, and it'll take its toll, and they'll put you in a hole, because if you think about it enough, it'll show fellowship in. And somebody said, well, my problem is poverty. I'm always afraid I'm going to lose what I've got. Well, you will. Keep holding on. You'll make it. You'll lose it every bit. You know? But why can't you say, well, glory to God, I believe he said it. I believe that's the way it is. Somebody said, what do you think about it? Don't have nothing to do with what I think about it. It's what he said about it. This is what he said about it. I believe that. See, if God said it, I believe it. That's enough for me. If I've got my grunts and I've got my groans, I ain't going to let them interfere with this. You know, if I have to say, that hurts. I say, thank you, Jesus. I know you done it right. Hallelujah. I know that you're gonna help me. I say, oh my God, can't hardly make it no more, God, but I know you're going to give me strength. I'm going to make it in Jesus' name. I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to live forever. Live forever and ever. Hallelujah. Never going to die. Glory to God. Because he lives, I live, and he wants me to live. Glory to God. So we're going to live on and on. The songwriter said, when the world's on fire, I'll live on. Let's stand together and sing that, can you? You know, I could just go on and go on and go on. I get excited and I get enthused over these things, especially talking about faith. My whole life has been built around faith. The only way I can survive and continue in the world even being alive, is by faith. So I get enthused when I start talking about faith. I got to just preach and preach and preach and preach. Because I just love to talk about God and the things of faith. So we're going to sing this little song together. When the world's on fire, I'll live on. When the world's on fire, I'll live on. I'll live on and on, I'll live on and on. When the world's on fire, I'll live on. When darkness veils the sun, I'm gonna live on. When the darkness veils the sun, I'll live on. When the world's on fire and there's no hope of tomorrow, I'll live on and on, I'll live on.
Sing it with me now.
We'll live on and we'll live on. When this world's on fire, I'll live on. I'll live on and on. I'll live on when this world's on fire. I'll live on.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Oh, when the darkness veils the sun, I'm gonna live on. When the darkness veils the sun, I'm gonna live on. When there's no hope of tomorrow and this world is filled with sorrow, I'll live on and on, I'll live on. Gonna live on and on, I'm gonna live on. Gonna live on and on, I'm gonna live on. Gonna live on and on, I'm gonna live on. Live on and on, I'm gonna live on. Can you say hallelujah? You love the Lord? God's good, isn't he? Well, I looked over the Jordan and what did I see? Coming to carry me home was a band of angels coming after me. Coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. He's coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends that I'm coming to, coming to carry. Sing it with me now. Swing low, sweet chariot. They're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. They're coming to carry me home. Sing it with me. Swing low, sweet chariot. They're coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. They're coming for to carry me home.
Somebody say praise the Lord.
I don't want no gold or silver. I don't want your diamond ring. All I want is the love of Jesus. For to me, he's everything. We don't want a gold or silver. And we don't want your diamond ring. All we want
is the love of Jesus for to me. It's my everything. We don't want, the altars are open, no gold or silver, and we don't want your diamond ring. All we want, hallelujah, is the love of Jesus for to me. Can you lift your hands and love him? I don't want no gold or silver, and I don't want no diamond rings. All I want is the love of Jesus for to me. He's my everything. Sing it again. I don't want no gold or silver. I don't want no diamond ring. All I want is the love of Jesus for to me. He's my everything. Let's give him a hand. And I really believe you mean that. I really believe you mean that. Even my little bitty ones. I can see my little bitty ones doing like that, you know. No gold or silver. God said all the gold is mine. The cattle of a thousand hills are mine. We don't need gold and silver. What we need is God. We need God. Sing that one more time, can you? And I don't want no gold or silver. And I don't want your diamond ring. But all I want is the love of Jesus for to me. You know, if you really feel that way, you can sing this song. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Or be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. And I'll be ready when the bridegroom, sing it with me, folks, we'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. I'm gonna be ready when the bridegroom comes. Or be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. Gonna be ready when the bride, can you sing it again? We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. For be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. We'll be ready when the bride, sing it again. I'll be ready when the bridegroom, how do you believe he's coming? I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Oh, be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. Gonna be ready. Can you sing it with me again? You really mean it? Sing it with me again. We're gonna be ready when the bridegroom comes. Gonna be ready when the bridegroom comes. Oh, be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. Gonna be ready when the bride, sing it just one more time. Gonna be ready when the bridegroom comes. Gonna be ready when the bridegroom comes. Oh, be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. Gonna be ready when the bride. Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's give God another hand. And let's sing it all over again. If you really believe that tonight, then it's time that we begin to awake. The Bible says when they awoke, they saw His glory. And it's time we begin to awake that this light may shine around the world. Let's sing it again, can we? I'm going to be ready when the bridegroom comes. I'm going to be ready when the bridegroom comes. Oh, be it morning, noon, or night, going to be robed in spotless white. Going to be ready. Feel like singing again. I'm going to be ready when the bridegroom comes. Going to be ready when the bridegroom comes. Oh, be it morning, noon, or night, going to be robed in spotless white. Going to be ready when the bride. And you say hallelujah. Lift your hands and close your eyes and let's love Jesus. Can you praise the Lord? I'm going to be ready when the bridegroom's come. Folks, I'm going to do my very best. Are you doing your very best? I want to be ready when the bridegroom comes. I don't want to be left. I want to be ready when the bridegroom's come. We can be ready when the bridegroom comes. He wants us to be ready. But we've got to make an effort. Did you know that? We've got to make an effort. If we're going to be ready, then we've got to make an effort. I want you to keep your hands up and keep your eyes closed. And we want to sing this little chorus together. I believe that it's getting closer and closer for time for the bridegroom. And I believe the reason why is because it goes like this. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angels shall stand on the sea and the earth. And time shall be no more. Sing it again with me. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angels shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time. Sing it one more time. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. You love the Lord? Let's close our eyes, lift our hands up. And we'll sing this little chorus that we sing so often. Let tomorrow be tomorrow. Let tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul. Sing it with me now. We'll let tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, can you sing it one more time with me?
We'll let tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul. I want to sing another little song. Can we sing this one together? Give me another key, friend. I'm going to let you go in a few minutes. Gone, the stone is rolled back, gone, and the tomb is empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side. Oh, he's gone. Oh, the death triumphant, gone. Sin is defeated, gone. And he lives forevermore. For he's gone, and the stone is rolled back, gone. And the tomb is empty, gone. Who sit at my Father's side? Oh, he's gone. Oh, the death triumphant, gone. Sin is defeated, gone. Can you sing it again? Evermore. Oh, he's gone. And the stone is rolled back, gone. And the tomb is empty, gone. Who sit at my Father's side? Oh, he's gone. Over death triumphant, gone. Sin is defeated, gone. And he lives forevermore. Your hands up with me. He's gone and the stone is rolled back. He's gone and the tomb is empty. He's gone to sit at my Father's side. He's gone. All the death triumphant. He's gone. Sin is defeated. He's gone. And he lives forevermore. And the Bible said, because he lives, I live also. I live also. Do you feel like you're alive tonight? Do you feel like you are alive tonight? If you feel like you're alive tonight, let's sing this song while our eyes are closed and our hands are lifted up. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For he is the lily of my valley, and he's my bright morning star, and he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody, you know, if you believe that, you really should help me at Bethlehem, folks. All of you that are looking at me, all of you that hear me, all of you that are interested in world evangelism and salvation, of reaching around the world for Jesus, you ought to help me. If you believe in this, you ought to help me. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For he is the lily of your valley, and he's your bright and morning star, and he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Sing it with me now. For he is the lily of my valley, and he's my bright and morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought, one more time. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For he is the lily of your valley, and he's your bright and morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Let's give him one more hand, can you? Let's lift our hands up to God. Let's praise the Lord. Tell him you love him tonight. If you love him, let's praise God together, can you? Father, we praise you tonight for your wonderful Son, Jesus. And we praise you for every word of the gospel because we know that it's true. Father, may the people be blessed tonight. And may the people be healed tonight. And may the people keep in mind the wonderful blessings of God, that this great, wonderful Spirit can go in and out the windows of their soul. Father, heal these people tonight. I feel your healing tonight because I feel their faith. And God, they're persuaded that you can do it. They believe that you can do it. And because they believe that you can do it, they know that you've done it for them. And truly, you have done it, even at Calvary. Oh, Heavenly Father, having healed them by your stripes, may these people be healed and well. May they go away believing, having a good time in the Lord, telling about this wonderful, wonderful blessings of great joy and peace on earth. And goodwill from the Heavenly Father toward mankind. I ask you to do it tonight in your loving name, Heavenly Father. Do it tonight in your wonderful name. I want to sing one more song, and I'm going to call somebody up for this mission. There's one more song.
Oh, he touched me, Jesus touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something has happened, and now I know that Jesus touched me and he made me whole. Sing it now. Oh yes, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something has happened, and now I know that Jesus touched me. Sing it one more time. And he made, just one more time. Oh yes, he touched me. Jesus touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something has happened, and now, oh, I know that he touched me. touch me, and he made me whole.
Eyes closed and hands lifted up. Can I ask Brother Steve Nunez, if he will, to come up and dismiss us tonight? I know that the Lord touched you. And the Lord has touched me. And he's always touching us. He's always touching us, doing something for us. Isn't it wonderful to be a Christian? Folks, there's nothing like being a Christian. Don't let anybody talk you out of your crown. And don't let any man take your crown from you. Did you know that you can have people that will confront you during your lifetime and talk to you and will talk you out of your crown? They will convince you that what they're doing is so exciting and that what they're doing is so great and that you're being left out until they'll talk you out of your crown. Many people have lost their crown. They've let another man take their crown. But don't do that. Don't do that. Don't let someone take your crown. Hold fast to your crown. And the Bible said, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. So then hold on to God. Keep, the songwriter said, keep holding on to God. When you're all discouraged, keep holding on to God. When people tell you that it can't be that way, keep on holding on to God. Just keep holding on to God.